You're from Maryland originally, right?
Yeah, I'm from Maryland originally. I grew up kind of all over the state, mainly in the western part of the state and down closer to Washington, D.C., but my mom's from Baltimore, so I kind of grew up all over and came down here about 10 years ago.
What brought you down to NOLA in the first place?
Well, I actually I had a job that was bringing me a transfer, and I've been thinking for some time about coming down to New Orleans and then just gave me an opportunity to do it where somebody else basically paid for my move. Mm-hmm. And I had been performing up in Washington, D.C., but not doing solely doing performance. I had, you know, had a regular job as well, and I just wanted to kind of come down here and check out the music scene, and that afforded me the opportunity to do that.
Where did you play your first show in New Orleans?
Well, when I first moved down here, I was singing and doing backup dancing for the original Shim Shamette, who were a burlesque troupe. I was just doing, like, backup dancer things and singing with them. And then I tried to kind of do a little bit of, like, solo jazz singing. I performed for a couple of functions at the Contemporary Arts Center and mm-hmm. a couple of private events. But I realized really quickly that there are so many female jazz singers down here that are so amazing that it's really would, you know, there's a lot of competition, sort of like, you know, little fish in a big pond type of deal. So mm-hmm. I started singing also with a group called the Sophisticats. We do like late 50s, early 60s bump and grind and surf music, and just was only doing a few songs per set, and I wanted more than that. You know, they weren't performing as often as I would have liked, so I just decided to start my own band. There you go.
What got you curious about singing straight up country?
I always kind of, like a lot of people, like, I grew up with that thing that people say, and most people will say that they have said at least once in their life, I listen to everything mm-hmm. except country music.
Right.
Well, that's because a lot of us grew up in small towns or have a misconception about what country music is, and I know I certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in a small town, you know, everybody listens to Achy Breaky Heart and Top 40 country and all of this. But, you know, basically, I guess as far as, like, what got me into figuring out what exactly country music was is what mm-hmm. made me interested in singing it. You know, I started off, I got introduced to rockabilly music when I was about 18 or 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, always liked that. And I always listened to a lot of electronica and a lot of rock and roll,
mm-hmm.
heavy metal. The rockabilly music was just so much fun, and I loved to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, over the years, you meet a couple of people specifically for me. It was a friend of mine named Cowboy Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a guy who lives down here in New Orleans, and he's friends with the people who had the Sophisticats, and he's real into the old country, and he said, here, listen to this, you know, and started getting more and more into it, realizing that I actually do like country music. I like Patsy Cline. I like Hank Williams, you know. So it was really just kind of like a redefinition of what the term country music means, because it is a very broad, mm-hmm. very generalized, there's so many different subgenres. In my mind, Patsy Cline was more like, I don't know, she was more like 50s or 60s pop music,
yeah.
You know, I never really considered her country, but then it's like, oh yeah, she's the queen of country, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, she was really influential to me, and my grandparents used to listen to Patsy Cline, but I just didn't know that was country music. So, yeah, it was just a redefinition of what the term country music means, and realizing, too, that just because you like country music, it's actually kind of, like, really cool, you know, the older stuff and the way that newer bands are doing
mm-hmm.
that older stuff is really cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that older style, that neo-traditionalist style.
You guys really try to put your own spin on that, so like old-timey sound, right?
Yeah, it's true. We definitely rock it up a little bit more. Time has moved on. Audiences' ears have attuned to like a more modern sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definitely heavier on the drums and a little bit faster. And, you know, if you listen to the Hank stuff, it sounds really old. And that's because there's this, you know, there's a certain tempo. We're used to things a little bit driving and a little bit, you know, a little bit more hi-fi. So, we don't try to emulate what's happening in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We take it and we make it a little bit more modern. But we still use the old instrumentation, string bass, you know, two guitars, an acoustic guitar right now. But that's something that we're looking to do as well, to really get that modern vintage sound. And, you know, pedal steel like we have and
mm-hmm.
really helps. We definitely swing it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
than most country bands do.
In NOLA, you really do have to, like, swing things more and really bring it harder.
No, it's such a conscious decision. I believe that it really is sort of embedded in being from New Orleans. I think, you know, everybody in our band has been in numerous bands and for years and years and years, and it's just something that is so ingrained in people playing in this town for a long time that you really don't have any control over. I mean, I guess you could stop it if you wanted to, but I don't think that it's a conscious thing. And we notice it especially when we go and we play out in other cities where country music is popular. Like we were just in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, man, you know, the bands that are in Dallas-Fort Worth that are coming out of there that are doing a similar style to what we do, they're real straight as far as the swing of the music. They're real straight,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the bands, it's super straight country. And then you listen to our stuff and it swings so hard and it's so musical. It sticks out like a sore thumb in Dallas and Fort Worth, you know. So it's pretty cool to take our New Orleans set elsewhere. You know?
Do you have a favorite venue to play in New Orleans?
You know, as far as favorite goes, I mean, I would say one of our favorite rooms to play, we have two gigs that we do regularly every week, and they're vastly different from one another. You know, we like them for different reasons. Play Sunday nights at the Balcony Music Club, and that room is good because it's got a good big PA. It's got good monitors. We fit our entire band on the stage, so we play with our 6-piece band every Sunday, and it's got room for our dancers, and you know, it's air conditioned. I mean, there's a whole list of reasons why it's a good place to play. It's also a great walk-by, you know, type of club. And then we play Beanies every Wednesday, which is an entirely different thing. And that one's fun because it's such a small room and people really get into it. But we kind of whittled it down in New Orleans to we only play at our favorite places now. So it would be like Le Bon Ton, Bank Street, Circle Bar. You know, your neighborhood local bars, they're all fun for different reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As far as sound of the band goes,
mm-hmm.
we definitely sound the best at the Balcony Music Club. You know, and that's an enjoyable one to play for that reason.
I'm sure with so many people in the band, that has to be a tight fit in some of these spots. I mean, the bar is so tiny, you know.
It is, and we only play as a 5-piece there. We lose a guitar player there. But we lose a little bit of our sound whenever we play those small rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, eventually, you know, we may outgrow them completely, but we'll hope not, just because we've been playing there for, you know, playing those smaller venues for so long. And they really are, for different reasons, they're fun, all of them, you know, just because we have such an established relationship with them. Club themselves.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite cities to play outside of New Orleans?
Well, we haven't really traveled that much. As many people who have bands will tell you, you know, the difference between talking about getting out there and actually going and doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's just, it's an incredibly difficult process. But we've been out and about a few times.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to Colorado twice, and that's a lot of fun. You know, we have a following out there. We like Denver and Santa Fe and some of these smaller towns in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
like Salida, you know, where basically there's only a few venues to go out, you know, in the town in general, and so you get a nice crowd of all the locals out there, and
mm-hmm.
we're pretty hip. You know, I would say Colorado is probably one of our most fun experiences, but Dallas and Fort Worth, our last trip out there,
mm-hmm.
was really great for us, you know, just all around, a really good vibe, really good shows. We were playing at the right places,
mm-hmm.
the right people, and that really makes all the difference, you know.
I'm sure it's hard trying to get out there and find different markets. New Orleans has just this like instantly built-in market, you know.
It does, and that's a trap. They, you know, New Orleans is always referred to as one of those cities. You really don't have to leave New Orleans if you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You can play here and you can make an okay living. It's cheap to live here, and, you know, you can do that, but, you know, we want more, and we know that we could take this a lot further, and so we just want to give it a shot, but it is a difficult thing out there. You know, you can know where to go play, but, you know, a lot of those places don't pay very much.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a bunch of 18-year-old kids who are going to just crash on our friend's floor and be happy with $50 for the band and sell some CDs and make our, you know, we actually have, you know, two guys in the band who have kids. A couple guys own houses, and so there's mortgages. Yes, things, you know, we need to work and make money,
mm-hmm.
and becomes more logistically incredibly difficult. We need to make at least comparable on the road to what we'd make at home,
mm-hmm.
plus then be able to pay for our expenses and have the time to book the gigs and all that stuff, too, while you're still working your full-time show schedule at home. It's a really interesting process, let's say that.
What do you feel are the biggest misunderstandings about the scene in NOLA?
That's an interesting question. The biggest misconception, I guess it depends what kind of group you're talking about is having these misconceptions. I would say for people from outside who look at New Orleans, they don't realize that there is such a vast array of styles of music other than Cajun Zydeco, other than jazz, other than the brass bands, or the, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's so much here, and New Orleans at one point in time had been really known as a rock city. Now it's got a very, it's got a thriving, I guess what you would say, rock alternative or indie scene.
Mm-hmm.
There are more and more country bands because it just kind of seems like it's something that's caught on worldwide, really. In just the past 20 years or so, country music has become huge, and particularly in the last 5-6 years, become really big. So I think that's probably the most, for people who are from outside of the city, that would be the biggest misconception that I see. There are people who are working to fix that problem. I have a friend at the New Orleans Tourism Board of Tourism or something,
mm-hmm.
who are trying to sort of get that message out there, too, that if you have a convention that comes to this and you want another style of music, it's here,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or, you know, things of that nature. Now, misconception for people in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
I think misconception for the local people in New Orleans is that, I don't really know, actually. It's an interesting thing to say. And maybe that, you know, we have a lot of people who give us suggestions about places to play in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that it's much more difficult than it would appear to actually get a band on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the most, and, but that doesn't, I don't know if that's really about the New Orleans scene, you know, that's just kind of in general what I've noticed, but yeah, I don't know.
Who's some of your favorite younger bands in NOLA right now?
I would have to say, I really like Happy Talk Band, my friend Luke's band, and they've been around for a while, but they do a really good job. You know, it's funny, I don't go out and see music as much as I could just because I'm out all the time. I have a lot of musician friends who play in different bands,
mm-hmm.
and so I guess it's kind of, for me, always like a specific musician that I follow.
Mm-hmm, sure.
For instance, Alex McMurray is, you know, amazing, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have some friends who are singers. My friend Anaïs St. John is an amazing, amazing singer. Yeah, as far as bands go, I mean, I would definitely say Luke Allen from Happy Talk Band. Happy Talk Band was, you know, they're doing good. They just put a new CD that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked, my favorite band was always the Jazz Vipers.
Mm-hmm.
They're real good. I tend to like that real traditional swing stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of my, just I have a weakness for it. Can't really think of anything else. But, again, I don't get out to see music as much as I should,
mm-hmm.
just because we're out so much and I'm nights off trying to stay out of smoky bars.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense. How did NOLA crowds first react to seeing y'all, because there wasn't that much of just country scene when y'all first started, right?
Yeah, there wasn't. In fact, there had been. We came back into the genre here in New Orleans at sort of a downtime for it.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other bands like the Plowboys, and there was another one I can't remember, similar member to the Plowboys. They were performing in the 80s and 90s, and then there's Kim Carson, who was performing in, I guess, late 80s and 90s, and she still is. She still lives in the area, but she performs a lot in Europe and travels a lot. And so there are people who came out of here doing very similarly to what we do, sort of a retro, modern retro.
Mm-hmm.
When we first came onto the scene, I have to preface this by saying we sucked and we didn't know what we were doing. We had a whole different crew of people than we have now.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely, you know, we got booked. We played at Checkpoints. We played at this place that's now closed, and that was called Lounge Lizard at the other end of Decatur, down closer to Canal. And we played at a bunch of places. We would get booked, and we would started building our crowd. And we realized, actually, that there is a lot stronger of a base of country music fans here in New Orleans than one might think. I think a lot of people grew up listening to Hank Williams and Patsy Cline and all of this, and there really was nothing to draw them out for a while anyway until we came around. So we sort of quickly started building up a following.
What advice would you have for artists trying to make it in the NOLA scene?
In the New Orleans scene?
Yeah.
I have a couple of pieces of advice for anybody, just what I've learned over the years. Now, we are primarily a cover band. And by covers, I mean classic covers of songs that, you know, you may or may not know, but that have been made famous by country music artists in the past, well-written stuff. Some also some newer covers of stuff that's only been recorded by the artists, friends of ours, from other places that wrote great songs. And we do some originals as well. So there are a lot of bands in New Orleans, I know, that do mostly originals, and we're not necessarily in the same position, but I will say that any band, no matter whether they do covers or originals, shouldn't be afraid to do a cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find that, you know, what attracts people in sometimes is something that they've heard before, a song that they've heard before, and then you can slip your originals in there a lot easier once you've gotten hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece of advice. Just don't be afraid to do a cover every now and again. You know, even if you do 90% original songs, slip a couple covers in there because people want to hear songs that they've heard before. And you will start to attract other people that might not necessarily step in the door for music that they haven't heard. The other advice that I have is put out an email list, start collecting information from your fans.
Mm-hmm.
The most valuable thing you can do as a band is to collect email addresses, names, zip codes, and even mailing addresses if they would like to give that. Because then you can see where your fans are. In New Orleans, we have so many people from all over the country, all over the world see us here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, if you don't collect that information, you're not going to know that you have a huge fan base in Lexington, Kentucky.
Anyone could just be like stumbling by freshmen and just hear y'all and be drawn in by it, right?
Exactly. And, you know, New Orleans is a city like that. I mean, it's a tourist destination. It's not just where people come in for vacation. It's a destination for people. Mm-hmm. They are coming to New Orleans, soak up the culture. And so you need to be able to harness that, find out where your fans are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do an email list. We have a Facebook and all that stuff, too. But the email list is nice, and once every 3 weeks or something, I'll send out, like, a nicely composed email to our fans, telling them what's been going on. Because there are a lot of, especially in country music, a lot of country music fans are not really, like, especially if they're older, they're not really so, like, Facebook literate or any of that. They're not even on. They just have email. So it's a nice way to reach those fans who you don't interact with on a daily basis via Facebook, Twitter, or Reverbnation or whatever. And, you know, there's just so many great tools out there. I think a lot of younger bands have figured out that you really need to have a strong online presence. But there are so many people who really aren't online, especially in the country music genre. Country music fans are a different audience than, say, rock. But I would assume even for jazz bands, it's probably like, you know, the older jazz fans are probably a lot of them not so much online. You know, they like to buy CDs, they like to take something with them. They're not downloading their music. They are reading their email, but they're not on Facebook. They're not on Twitter. So, yeah, just that, you know, I think that information is the most valuable thing that you can harness as a band.
Do you always try to put your own spin on a song?
Yeah, we, you know, of course, like I said before, we definitely play the songs in a more modern style, a more modern sound. They are recognizable as what they are. We have been writing a lot more as well recently.
Uh-huh.
And we do have, you know, our first album was half covers of originals. The new one is, you know, a couple of originals and a couple of songs that would be considered, they're covers, but they're not famous. They've never been on the chart, so some people might not recognize them as covers. And then we have a few well-chosen classic songs that are cover tunes. So, yeah, we try to put our spin on them, but we are also trying to work more originals into the process, which for us has been an evolving over the past few years.
Now, how does your songwriting process work?
Primarily, so far, the lyrics have come from myself originally. I do a lot of writing of poetry and always have. Most of the stuff is not ever put to music, but in the past couple of years, I started to write more with lyrically based instead of just poetry based. And then sometimes the melody comes from me and we just flesh it out as a band, and the lyrics get changed around a little bit too. But it usually is a pretty organic process like that. Usually starts with me, although we have a couple now that started with our bass player, Dave. One that started with our guitar player, one of our guitar players, Cranston, where I said, you know, something funny on the road, and then all of a sudden he got an idea for a song. And so it kind of comes from all over.